Well, let me begin by asking you a question. How's your walk today? How's your spirit? You know, we've come through renewal. The Holy Spirit has been welcome in this place. And Satan goes, oh, them again. And he shows up. And that's what's happening. We got to be on guard for that. We got to. Basic question is, if God says to do something, are we willing to do it and walk by faith in doing it? Someone named Tim Bowden wrote a book called One Crowded Hour. It was about a war in Borneo in 1964. Nepalese fighters were known as Gurkhas, and they were asked during the battling process and the setting up for the next battle, would they be willing to jump from an airplane into combat to fight against the Indonesians who were doing some horrific things? Well, they weren't real sure exactly what all that meant, but they said willingly and graciously, we're willing to jump. But could you fly the plane at least lower than 100 feet and maybe fly over a marsh area and we'll jump in and hopefully most of us will survive? And they said, well, that parachutes won't open at less than 100 feet. In fact, they got to be higher than that. And they said, parachutes? You didn't say anything about parachutes. Well, God says to walk by faith. And he doesn't necessarily give us all the details. He just says, walk by faith. And that's what we're talking about. I was reading another article. It had nothing to do with spiritual things. And you may get this little magazine. I'm not going to give it any press. But the authors, there was a couple of them, were writing about what they call my third act of life. They were talking to me. You know, I turned 64 last week. And the author asked the question, during that third act of life, will I be me or will I be a busted up old ploop? That's got some spiritual ramifications to it. We're not done yet, and God's not finished with us. He hasn't returned. There's work to be done. The author goes on to ask this question. He says, is that time of your life going to be fun or is it going to be filled with boredom and laced with terror? Now, he was talking specifically about physical health. He said, and I quote, this is the short version of it, the third act may be the best in your in the play. Three acts in the play. Best, not guaranteed, but a good chance that it could be. So he says, do some work and you can be yourself almost all the way to the waterfall and have heck of a great time along the way. See, everybody in here wants it easy. We don't want it hard, we want it easy. We want it light, we don't want it heavy. When we work out, we want it to be painless and less stressful. We're looking for magic pills to fix problems. We want it, whatever the solution is, to be quick, fast, and palatable. We don't want to be inconvenienced. And besides all that, this third act for some of us, not any of you, I guess, is supposed to be a time of retirement. But he said, wake up, America. And I do too. The reason we're in this mess, this is not him, this is me. The reason we're in the mess we're in our nation, the reason we're in the mess we're in even in our denomination is because we've opted for the easy life. And the easy things. And when it comes to spiritual things, we act like God's not really there. But we just prayed through a song for the Holy Spirit to come into this place and to come into His tabernacle. And you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we need to live every day of our life as if we really believe God is still in control. I do. There's a lot of issues on the board. I still believe abortion is morally wrong. I know all the fringe arguments about rape, incest, life of the mother. Those are the distractions. The vast majority of abortions are of living beings that could live. Open borders. That's a national suicide pact. Raising taxes on the rich eventually raises taxes on the poor. because the rich will take their money and stop making it, and they'll close businesses and people lose jobs. Believing that the government's going to have all the answers? When has that worked? Now, I'm not going to be any more political than that. That's enough of that. The author of that first article that I talked about said, and put it on the screen, best of all, it's up to you. How long you live is 80% genes and 20% you. How well you live is 80% you and 20% genes. Now, I want to take that thought and apply it to our spiritual growth and our spiritual life. It doesn't just apply to our physical or to our national or to our mental or to our emotion. It has a lot to do with our spiritual. If you have your Bible, we're going to look at several verses just within a couple of chapters here in 1 Kings. I want to begin with 1 Kings chapter 8 at verse number 22. It says this. It says, "Then Solomon stood up before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, and he spread out his hands toward heaven, and he said." Now, what's going on here? They've just had a spiritual renewal. They've just had the presence of God help them do the thing that was meant to be done all along. They have completed building the temple. And no longer are the people of Israel a nomadic, wandering people. No longer do they have to wonder if the cloud is going to rise or if the pillar of fire is going to start moving and they're going to have to pack up everything real quick and put all their stuff together and move again. No longer will the house of God be made out of canvas and poles. On this day when he stands there and raises his hands toward heaven, they have a temple. They have a house of worship in which they can enter into, and not all of them can enter into, but they can. It is the symbol of God's permanent place in their lives. So, here he prays a prayer to God. And then secondly, he prays a prayer which literally is a plea to the people. I want to briefly look at both of them. In verses 28 through 30. This is this part of his first prayer. He says, he's saying to the Lord, "Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, O Lord my God. Hear the cry and hear the prayer of your servant that is praying in the presence this day. May your eyes be open toward the temple night and day. May this place which you said, my name shall be there, so that you will hear the prayer of your servant that prays toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive." He says three things here in this passage of Scripture. One, he asks God to hear their prayer. When we pray publicly, we're asking God to hear our prayer on behalf of everyone else. And that's what he does. Then he says, "Lord, not only hear our prayer, but see what we do with it." We're not just saying some words. We're meaning what we say, and so it's going to lead us to accomplish some things that will bring you honor and glory. And then the third thing he says, because of all of that, you'll know our heart. He says, "Lord, forgive us our sin." And we should ask his forgiveness every day. Every day we should ask, "Lord, forgive us of our failures and sin. Things we do on purpose, things we do by accident, things we do because we're not where we're supposed to be. Just forgive us." That was his basic prayer throughout this. But I want you to notice something else. In 1 Kings 8, 33 and 34, he gives us a picture of the gospel cycle. He says, "When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name, praying and making supplication to you in the temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people, Israel, and bring them back. Bring them home to the land you gave to their fathers. Now, here's the gospel cycle. The gospel cycle begins with you and me when we recognize our defeat. Sin will defeat us. It will keep us longer than we want to stay there and take us further than we want to stay, cause us to pay more. All those things. Sin is that which separates us from the very holiness and the very presence of our living God. And he says, when we're defeated by the enemy wants to bring us down. We've had renewal. We've been lifted up. It's a new day. Satan goes, them again? And he diverts his attention to us. He's going to cause us to be tripped up. He's going to cause us difficulty. He's going to make things hard. And that emotional stage will get stirred up. It's there. When we are defeated, he says, then when they turn back, he says, that's the second part of the gospel cycle, is the turning back. What's involved in turning back? Confession of his name, submission to him in prayer, and then taking action by sacrifice and supplications in the temple. You know, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death, which is separation. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We got to recognize what God has done for us, and we got to call out upon his name and let him live within us. Now, in 1 Kings 8:36, the second part, he says, then teach them the right way to live. And we need to read that from every political pulpit in America. Teach them the right way to live. We're not teaching anything but selfishness and self-righteousness and self-will. Teach them the right way. And then when they know that right way, God, send the rain. Send the rain on the land that you gave the people for an inheritance. The lack of rain, I'm not talking about this drought we're in, but the lack of rain here for these people represented the hand of God being removed from their life because of sin. In order for the rain to return, for God to rain down upon them, they had to return to him with a submissive heart, with all these things, confession, submission, and taking action in their life. Now, in verse 39, you go down there. This is where he restates his plea, he restates his prayer, and he restates his belief. He says, hear from heaven, from your dwelling place, forgive and act. Deal with each man according to all he does, since you know his heart. For you alone know the hearts of all men, so that they will fear you all the time they live. All the time they live in the land. All the time they live in the land you gave our fathers. Great message as he prays this prayer as part of his dedication of this place of worship that they have now finished building and have erected for everyone to see, never to be moved again. But then there's a second prayer. Turn with me to chapter 8, verses 54 and following. This is our main text for today. It says, when Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, and that was the whole dedication process of sanctifying and edifying and lifting up this place where they were going to worship. He's turning to the people. He says, when he's finished all this, he rose from before the altar of the Lord. And I want to remind you that everything he did, he was doing with his back to the people toward God. Remember, the veil is here. The Ark of the Covenant is behind. The altar of sacrifices in front. There's the bowls or cleanings of the hand. But everything, he's crying out on behalf of all the people, a dedication prayer. So he says, so if he finished the prayer, supplication of the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven. Then he stood And he blessed. Now he's turned to the people and he's blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice. And this is what he said. Praise be to the Lord who has now given us rest to the people of Israel just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promises. He gave through the promises that he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts toward him to walk in all his ways and to keep the commands and decrees and regulations he gave our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night. In other words, let's not forget this. Let's not forget this moment. Let's not let the things of this world deter us. May these always be on our lips, being voiced before God, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord God is God and that there is no other. But your hearts must be fully committed. Now, this is his challenge to the people. Your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands. And it says, as at this time. Because at this time, at this very moment of dedication and consecration and commitment, all those things in there, this is a very high and holy moment. The people are excited. There's no thought of the enemy. There's no thought of failure. It's all good, and they're excited. Now, he says in this passage of Scripture, I'm going to just point them out to you, five things. He begins by praising God. He's excited about this. The temple's finished. They're no longer wandering. They're settled. They're whole. They're one. They're full. And he uses the word rest. Isn't that a good feeling? When you finally can sit down after a long whatever and rest. You know that feeling. And he says, praise God, we've come to this moment. Secondly, he reviews the promises. Several times in this passage, he reviews the promises that God made through Moses and Aaron and through the people before him. He reviews all of that and he praises God for that also. But it's a reminder. And we're to be reminded of the promises of Jesus Christ. You know the promise that I'm looking forward to right now that Jesus made? If I go, I'm coming again. That's the promise that I'm really looking forward to next. Now, there'll be more promises. It'll be interesting to see what kind of little condominium we get in heaven. You know, or whatever it is that they're building, that mansion, that building, that place where God uses the jewelry we use to build as building blocks. He reviews the promises of God, and we need to review the promises. Thirdly, he asks that God will never leave them. One of the things that's so disheartening about what's happening in the world and these terrorists that are using religion to justify their horrible deeds is that they believe that God will leave them if they don't kill people. That's not the God of love that created the heavens and the earth. Fourthly, he also asks that God will always lead them. Now here's the deal with that. Don't leave us, Lord. But sometimes we leave him. Guide me, Lord. Direct my paths. Show me your way. Teach me how to live, as he prayed already. And then he literally says to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments. That's part of it. And then the last thing is interesting. In verse number 60, he reveals to us the purpose of the church. And we call it the body of Christ. But the purpose has never changed from the day the temple was built to this very moment until Jesus comes again. This purpose never changes. Verse 60 says, so that the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. Who have I not told about Jesus Christ that I need to tell? Go back to that article Some of you probably already read it. I'm not going to give them any promotion. The author said, if you are going to be 80% you, as Dabo would say, if you're going to be all in this thing that has to do with your health, this is what the guy said. And this, I read this, and I'm going to give you my reaction to my first reading of it. He said, if you're going to live well in those third act of your life, you got to exercise 6 days a week. You got to have aerobics that are very hard and strenuous 3 or 4 of those days. You got to do strength training, hard strength training 3 or 4 days a week. And then he goes to meddling. He says you need to spend less money. Stop eating garbage. And you start need to care for other people and connect with other people in your journey. And you're going to have to do this every day for the rest of your life. And I went, you got to be kidding. That's impossible. You know the old saying, if you aim at nothing, you get it every time. I think that's what he was saying. That's what I think what he was getting at. Now, he was talking about physical things. I'm talking about spiritual things. We need to do the very same thing. He, in chapter 8, the last verse, he says this, but your hearts must be fully committed. Fully committed to our Lord, the Lord our God, to live by His decrees and obey His commands as at this time. Fully committed means devoted, loyal, true, steadfast, constant, devout, fond, loving, affectionate, caring, admiring, and a dozen other words that are written there. Devoted. I want to share with you 5 devotions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If we're going to, as at this time, if we're going to continue that, then we've got to be devoted to the Lord. First and foremost, He must be first place in our life. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He's done for you. Paul said in Corinthians, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? We must be totally devoted to the Lord. Number 2, we've got to be devoted to His Word. The Word of God is active and alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. That's what Paul said in Hebrews. He said to Timothy, all scriptures is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. We need to be also devoted to prayer. Now, we've talked a lot about prayer. I'm still teaching on prayer on Sunday nights. I invite you to come as we next 2 or 3 weeks finish this up and then transition into some Thanksgiving and Christmas celebrations. And by the way, we're going to have some pretty excellent stuff come up in January in Crosswalk. Joan Wilkie is going to be teaching a Beth Moore's class that I think she is really excited about. I'm looking for some men's stuff, but we're not going to, and we may divide up men and women for about 6 weeks. So I'm pretty excited about that. We're going to delve into God's Word, and we're going to continue to learn to pray. I hope you'll be a part of that even this evening. He says, devote yourself to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God, the will for you in Christ Jesus. The fourth thing is something that he said in this list of stuff. We need to be devoted to service. We need to care. We need to care for others. It's interesting. Where did I have this conversation? Somebody was talking about things we could do, and I was thinking, you know, we had a thing in Blacksburg, a group of guys, and what basically happened is that group of guys died out and it quit being done. But we had a ministry where our senior adults and our elderly and those who needed help, they could simply call the church office and they could say, you know, I need a light bulb changed. I need a faucet fixed. I need a door hinge re-screwed or looked at. Just little things. We don't want our senior adults climbing up on ladders and up there trying to change floodlights and stuff like that. So they would call, and then once a week we met with a combination of Wednesday night supper, prayer meeting, that group met, and visitation. We did all four things at one time. And we went out and we were doing things. And they'd go out and do these things. Ministry, caring, touching base with people. We kind of do that with the meals we take out to families. And Dole does that, and Gordon, and who else sends them? Julian Yelton. They take the meals around and knock on the door and see how they're doing and hand them a meal on Wednesday night. We don't charge them. Caring for people, serving people. There's a place for you. Our next step in this lay renewal will probably come in late springs if we approve everything as we're walking through the process. But we're going to look at two things at one time. We're going to do the spiritual gifts training, and then we're going to commission ourselves to serve Him. But you don't have to wait the next May for that to happen. You can get involved. You can ask the question, Lord, where do you want me serving? What can I do? And if you don't get a clear picture, just go along somebody else that's doing something and do it for a little while until God tells you to do something else. He says, I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. And finally, I'm going to meddle a little bit. Devoted to our giving. Now, he said, spend less. Did y'all remember this? I didn't remember this. In 1987, Chet Atkins and Margaret Archer wrote a song that Ray Stevens sang. And in it were these words. If he came back tomorrow, there's something I'd like to know. Would Jesus be wearing a Rolex on his television show? That was about the time that a guy out in Oklahoma, I think it was, said, if you don't give $8 million by this deadline, God's going to take me home. And somebody named Arlo Guthrie says, this was in 1987, he said, I firmly believe we shouldn't negotiate with any terrorist on any reason. You know, giving has gotten a bad rap. It's gotten a bad rap in the church. It's gotten a bad rap in the media. But God says that we're to give with a cheerful heart. For me, I believe what the Bible says. We start with the tenth, and we go from there. Betsy and I are still negotiating that, how to give more and do more. And so the spend less so I can give more is a good deal. The Bible says give generously to him who, and to do so without a grudging heart. And then another place it says every man should give as he's able according to the blessing of the Lord, your God, which he's given you. We used to have this thing called, it was a financial plan for raising money within the church. And the word was this. It's not equal gifts, but it's equal sacrifice. What is the God's telling us to do? If we're going to be devoted to Him in the Word, and to the Lord in the Word, in prayer, in service, and in giving, we are going to have to exercise it every day of our lives for the rest of our lives. It can't be a part-time decision. It can't be something that I think I can do today and not worry about it tomorrow. I have to change everything about my life. Let me get over here and get off the spiritual thing and say, look, I don't like the fact that I can't eat all those desserts I want. That doesn't make me happy at all. Okay? There are not very many desserts that I won't pass by. But I got to change. I got to stop that. Does that mean I can't have a dessert? Here's what I tell people. I am not on a diet. I'm not counting anything. I'm not measuring anything. I'm not buying prepackaged food. I'm just changing my relationship with gravity, so it has less pull on my life by being moderate, eating less, spending less, so that ultimately give more. Okay, spiritual. I got to stop worrying about what Fox News or CNN has to say. I got to stop reading that stuff that just boils my blood. I've got to stop worrying about it. You know, I've got to stop watching so much TV. This book here, I'm finding the more I study on Wednesday night for what we're doing, the walking through the Bible, the more I want to study it. We're seminary trained, and I'm learning things now 30, 40 years later I didn't see. Nobody taught me. That's what we need. It's got to be daily. It's got to be fruitful. It's got to be fulfilling, and it's got to be, and it means that we may have to make sacrifices. So to continue this renewal, there it is. Where are you? I can't let a spiritual downer stop me. And so I've got a group of, we call it Band of Brothers. This is a ministry that has been developing, and it's just three of us right now. And we meet every Wednesday morning and have time together. Ruth and Linda call it my therapy session. But it is a time of connecting. You need a band of brothers. You need a band of sisters. Mike, how long ago? It was 8 years ago when we did the Friday morning at 6 o'clock thing, the men's ministry. I think I'm going to do it again. We didn't finish that series. There's one more series, and then there's plenty of material. Just 1 hour, 6 o'clock on Friday morning. Maybe that's what we need. Lanny, I know he's here, was. Yeah, Lanny's on that team, and his direction is small groups. Where do we go from here? Well, we're going to meet with Lanny's group and the Connections group and with Scott, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to see how we can work this together so that we can have more small groups. We need that camaraderie. Everybody can't do it like everybody does it. But everybody can do something. If we're going to let this renewal continue to grow, we're going to have to change. We're going to have to submit and go. I closed my Bible, so I'll just tell you. If you look at verse 56, it ends with him saying, "Praise be to the Lord." In verse 56, he also acknowledges what God's done. Not one word has failed. And then in verse 57, he recognizes his dependency upon God. May the Lord our God be with us, because we can't do it without him. Where do we go from here? We just keep letting God be God. We keep reading his word. We keep praying like we ought to pray. We find our place of service, so that we can serve him with gladness, the scripture says. And we give, not just our money, but our time, our talents, our spirit, our heart, our mind, our soul. Will you join me in that? Because I'm telling you, this week I just totally got blindsided on Tuesday morning. I thought surely out of 60-something people, there'd be one more person that would stand with me. So one person seconded my motion. But when it came time to vote, I was the only one who said yes. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm going wrong. But God's never wrong. So lean upon him. We need him. Let's pray. Father, this is a time in the life of this church where you have been put back on the throne. You have re-entered through your Holy Spirit. You have touched our lives in very personal ways. And maybe I'm being too personal, and I apologize, Lord. But we sense that you are not finished with us. We believe with all of our hearts that through repentance and prayer, we can have fellowship with you. We can renew that relationship that Jesus Christ has given us when he died on that cross for our sins to be forgiven. We can not only believe it, but live it. And Lord, do whatever it is, even if it's jumping out of a plane, that you want us to do. So I thank you, Lord, for your word. I praise your holy name. May we always be near you, and may you never, ever forsake us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus paid it all. Let's stand. You need to make a decision today. Make it today. You need to join this church. Come today. You need to receive Christ. That's the most important. Come down. Let's talk about it. You need to rededicate your life. You just need to come to the altar and pray for a moment and just turn something over to God. As a symbol of your faith, do that. But whatever God's saying to you, let's respond in His name. I was thinking back to when we were at Calvary, and Carol Dellinger, a gentleman in our church, was our music director, and he was layman, stockbroker, and I can still, I had a flashback of him leading that song during a revival. We don't do revivals anymore, do we? But he was leading that, and the whole church came down. I still remember. I don't remember when. I just remember that it happened, and it was that song. Jesus paid it all. And I owe him everything. And we need to leave this place giving thanks that he's accepted our asking for his forgiveness. Let's pray. God, thank you this morning as we go from this place. Bless the mess of a message that I brought for your glory, Lord. Speak to us through your word. By your Holy Spirit, touch our lives deep within us so that when you think about every day for the rest of our lives, it's not a big deal. It's the way it should be. So I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.